You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
So we have three pit bulls. Look at her face. She's like, oh.
A lot of bodies.
This is a lot of bodies. But only one of them sleeps. They all are in the room with us, but only one, the girl, she's entitled and she sleeps with us. And I wish you could have seen her this morning. She's the little spoon. She loves to spoon. She's the little spoon. I'm the big spoon. And she just, her head is on my arm. She's on my pillow. She sleeps like a human. Yeah. She thinks she's a person. Yeah. But she snores so loud. And sometimes she kicks. Sometimes she kicks my boobs. It's like, it is just very disruptive. I would imagine it's akin to having a child sleep in your bed.
Yeah, I believe it.
Is it healthy? I'm still getting crowns, so I'm going to continue to do it as long as I feel like I'm getting good sleep.
Hello, friends. I'm Rosie Acosta, author, mindfulness teacher, and wellness coach.
And I'm Tessa Tovar, producer, co-host, and your partner in Real Talk for all things wellness and beyond.
Welcome to the Radically Well podcast. This is a space where we break down the messy, transformative moments that make us who we are, because wellness isn't about perfection. It's about embracing the journey.
Every week, we'll tackle the topics no one talks about, but everyone needs to hear, like navigating hormones, aging, relationships, sex, and self-care.
You'll hear unfiltered stories, expert advice, and real, relatable conversations that empower you to reset your mindset, reimagine your health, and show up as your most authentic self. Whether you're here to learn, laugh, or maybe cry a little, this is your space to feel seen, supported, and inspired to live radically well.
So grab your favorite tea or, hey, maybe a glass of wine and let's dive in.
Let's get radically well. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Radically Well podcast. I am here with my very own co-host, friend, cohort.
I thought you were going to say minion.
I was.
Really? Tessa Tovar, the minion.
Minions. I love those little minion
things.
They're
so cute. Oh,
they're adorable. Literally. Okay. Woo! Here we are.
I feel like I'm having a hot flash. I should not be having a hot flash, but I kind of feel like, and you were cold and I'm hot. I'm literally sweating.
But you did say you have had a lot of caffeine today.
I did. Can you tell?
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm so amped.
Also, how did you sleep last night?
Oh my God. Okay. So here's one thing I want to talk about today. So this is interesting. More than half, 56% to be exact, of perimenopausal women sleep less than 7 hours per night, and they're more likely to have trouble falling asleep and staying asleep compared to premenopausal women. This is according to the CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, from Women's Health. This is from the Women's Health 2025 issue.
Yeah, the winter edition. Yeah.
So you ask, how did I sleep last night?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I'm so tempted. I'm going to check, actually, because Tori always asks me in the morning. He'll just ask me, how did you sleep? And I feel like I can't even answer him until I see what the Aura ring says.
Oh, this is something I really wanted to talk about today. So I'm so glad you brought it up. So first, yeah, tell me.
Let's see. It's funny because sometimes I feel like I didn't get good sleep. And then if I get a crown, I feel like I got good sleep. So then it makes me change how I feel about it. So then part of me is questioning, is this a placebo or did I really get good sleep?
Yeah.
I felt like I got good sleep. I don't feel like I got enough sleep last night, but I fell asleep later than my norm. 8:40 mm-hmm. was it. Normally I'm asleep by 8:15. So I feel like I got cheated a little bit, but I did wake up a little extra early today.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. I mean, okay. I can continue to go on, but I know that you have very, very firm feelings about this.
Well, I think my feelings are not so firm. I just think it's really interesting because we want to be so prescriptive in our sleep, especially, you know, like the rigidity of 8 hours and being really consistent with wake and bedtime.
Wait, times. So are you like against it? What are you saying here?
I'm not saying I'm against it.
Okay.
But I'm saying, now, this whole conversation for me was inspired by this article I read in the Women's Health issue, okay. 2025-ish, winter.
Where are we going?
So, anyways, so, like, it's making me think about, like, is 8 hours really that important? Are these wearables that are tracking us in our sleep really that accurate? I'm just wondering, and I'm not saying I don't agree with it. I'm saying, like, can we kind of like be a little bit more flexible in that? Because okay. It feels a little bit rigid to say this you is have what I'm to saying. Get 8 hours.
I feel that you are, but I feel like this is something that you've had for a while. Why is that?
I don't, because I am raging against the machine, I guess.
Yeah, that's what it is. No, and that's okay. I'm just saying what?
I think probably because back in, like 2020.
Okay.
I started to feel like I was suffering from insomnia. Now looking back, perhaps that was the beginning of my perimenopausal journey. And since then, since starting HRT more recently, like in the past few months, I've been sleeping better. So, okay. I don't know.
So I have thoughts.
Yes.
Because in 2020, same, I think we were kind of experiencing the same thing. And in 2020, I got the Aura ring actually because the reason I got the Aura ring was I got COVID in 2020 and it hit both Tori and I don't know if you remember that, but it got us. It laid us out for weeks. We were out for, I think, a solid 3 weeks. And I felt like I couldn't sort of come back from it. And I was really struggling. And now looking back in perimenopause, I was having that insomnia and my sleep was just really off. And I couldn't figure out like what was going on. And so I kept hearing about this Aura ring and a couple of friends were talking about it. And so I just ordered it. And I felt like if I could track it, it would help create better habits. And it did. I was able to see how interrupted my sleep actually was. But I do find that, you know, it did create a little bit more of a, and I was already rigid. I mean, you know me, I've always been very militant about my sleep, but I think that having the wearable, it really sort of put me into high gear if possible, because it became a sort of crusade of, I have to be in bed by a certain time. It's getting close to the time I have to be in bed. I have to make sure that I get my deep sleep. My deep sleep only happens between between 9 p.m. and midnight. That's when I get my deepest sleep. So I need to make sure that I'm in bed before. It just was causing anxiety. And so I did take a break from wearing it for a little while just to sort of reset that. What is it called when you're like really leaning on something that I don't
like a crutch?
Yeah. So it alleviated that crutch. So I didn't feel so rigid about it. But I understand what you're saying. Look, I'm a big fan of having measurable data, obviously, which is why we're even here. We're talking about this. I love measurable data. I love information. I want to know how things work. I want to know why it's working. I want to know how it makes a difference in my body, in my system. Like, I want to see the data because for me, it helps me integrate and it empowers me. Mm-hmm. So having a wearable for me, it doesn't feel like something I have to do or, remember when Lou was on the conversation, she called me a crown chaser. She's like, I don't know if she said it on the podcast, but we were having this discussion, because I'm training at Slay, shout out. But she was right. Like, I do chase those crowns. I want to make sure I'm getting enough sleep. And to be honest, like, there are worse things, it's not like I'm on a bender and I'm like, oh, I just want to get to that 30 days and like keep getting wasted or something. Like, there are worse things to have as your incentive or goal. I feel like sleep is one of those things, especially having as much knowledge as I have on sleep and teaching yoga nidra and the effects of yoga nidra, or as Andrew Huberman, I was about to call him Daddy Huberman. I don't know why. I'm so glad that I'm, but Andrew Huberman talks about the non-sleep deep rest. And I love that he shouts out yoga nidra because that's exactly what the practice is. And I feel like there's just so much data now. Dr. Matthew Walker has so much information. I mean, he's part of this Oura Ring, part of this, exploration of sleep and how it impacts. Not even exploration. I mean, there's scientific data that shows you how sleep can impact your overall well-being and longevity and how it's, related to so many chronic diseases.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
As you age. Yeah. So for women in perimenopause specifically, that's one of the big symptoms that we get is insomnia, because it's hormone related. There are so many hormones associated to sleep. Mm-hmm. And so when that is interrupted, it affects the entire system. So of course, if you're not getting a full night's sleep, you're going to wake up and you're going to be agitated, you're going to be short, you're going to have mood swings, you're going to be less tolerant, you're going to be maybe less compassionate.
Yeah.
She's like, quiet. She's like, yes. Like, I mean, right now. How did you sleep last night?
I feel like I slept fitfully. Like, I woke up a lot.
What do you think that is?
I think it had to do with a heavy dinner close to bedtime. Which was so delicious, and I'm so grateful for it and worth it.
Yeah.
But I noticed that what I eat and when I eat as it relates to bedtime matters.
Yeah.
Also alcohol. I did have a beer last night.
Oh yeah. That's my partner's bad.
No. I mean, I had a choice and I said yes. I was like, yes, I would love a beer. Thank you. And it tasted delicious. And I think it's important to find the balance of enjoying yourself and, enjoying a meal and a drink with friends once in a while if you do imbibe. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I noticed it affects my sleep.
Yeah. Too,
especially because I have not been drinking.
Yeah.
Like at all, really, for the past 6 months. I say that with with the caveat that I'm the type of person who I love a glass of wine at the end of the day, and I'm good with just a glass of wine. But I was doing that daily and going through perimenopause, and it just was not good. It was not good for my sleep. I mean, it is a poison, right? Like, I can feel it in my body. I believe it. I can see the effect, immediate effect, actually, honestly, on my face because I've developed rosacea, which is like so cool. I love it. So rosacea is like a skin condition where the outer layer, the outermost layer of your skin is compromised. So you don't have a protective mm-hmm. barrier. Mm-hmm. And that's directly related to your gut health. And because I've been through several rounds of antibiotics this past year from surgery and from being sick, my gut is already compromised. Like my gut bacteria has been wiped out multiple times.
Yeah.
So it's not a surprise to me that rosacea would develop after something like that. So I'm just having to be like really mindful about what I'm eating and trying to eat clean, which is something I do all the time anyways. Mm-hmm. And I've had my vice, which is wine and chocolate and coffee, which are so acidic. And it just shows right up on my face. Anyways, I've let go of wine for the most part, but I'm learning to have that relationship with it where it's like maybe once a month.
Yeah.
And I'll go out with my mom and we'll have wine together. So that's been actually really nice.
Yeah.
To feel like, oh, I can do that. Oh, I can just let it be this occasional thing. I don't have to have it daily.
Yeah. I think that that's part of adapting to changes that are happening in your body, or even as we age, right? Things that we could do in our 20s, maybe we can't do so much in our 30s. Things that we used to be able to do in our 30s, now we can't do so much in our 40s.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's things we're doing now in our 40s that when we turn 50, will be the same. Mm-hmm. We'll have to sort of adapt. But I find this really fascinating because there is a shift that happens in your lifestyle where you start to notice more of those things. Like obviously for us, both of us, it's been going through hormonal changes has created a more prevalent awareness on our habits and what we're doing every day that's impacting our daily life. I think that this conversation specifically about alcohol is one that is quite poignant. And I feel like we will continue to have these conversations on this show. I wanted to just read this from the U.S. Surgeon General. So, okay, this is one of the infographics that the U.S. Surgeon General posted. Consuming alcohol increases the risk of developing at least 7 types of cancer. Mouth, throat, voice box, esophagus, breast, liver, colon, and rectum. It also talks about how the consumption of alcohol increases the risks more in women than it does in men. And specifically, it talks about the consumption of alcohol in increasing breast cancer risk in women, which I find really fascinating.
Yeah. Why is that? That's what the fuck, man? Why? Why do women have to be more at risk?
Yeah, totally, right? Wow. Look, we don't know. I mean, this is just a recent study. I'm sure the more that they do studies on this, the more information that we'll have. But like you said, I mean, alcohol is a toxin.
Yeah.
And again, I don't want to, you know, badger a ritual that somebody may have that enjoys it. It's like you do what you do consciously and you do it knowing the risks. You know, we get in our cars, we drive, we know what the risks are, you know? I mean, it's different when you're consuming something that especially isn't talked about as much, like, you know, there's no guardrails on it. Nobody's monitoring like, oh, that's too many, right? So again, the onus is on us. And I think it goes back to that conversation we were talking about finding your PCP, right? Your doctor, finding the right person for you, the onus does always fall back on us. And I don't think that we're conditioned enough. We're not empowered enough. We're not educated enough to feel autonomy in especially when it comes to our health. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and I think that is the whole point that I have around the wearables to go back to the sleep conversation is that when, and I'm not against it. I have an Oura Ring. I have a Sleep Number bed. I have an app that tells me two different data sets, which I wake up and immediately look at. And I'm like comparing the two. So I'm like into the data too.
Does it match up?
No, they're totally different, what? Which is why I'm like, there's a margin of error in these devices. And I'm not going to base what I always want to try and strive for. This is me personally, is to check in with how I actually feel when I wake up.
Right.
How is my energy level throughout the day? Just how do I, like, can I sit through a meeting without face planting on my desk, you know, and falling asleep? Can I fall asleep readily at night? Does it take me less than 20 minutes or so to fall asleep? Those are the kind of things that I like to make sure that I'm checking, fact checking against the data points. Because the data points, I get two different sets from my Sleep Number bed and my Oura Ring. And, you know, like if I were to wear my Apple Watch or my Garmin watch to bed too, I'd probably get a third. I find it fascinating. Like, what am I supposed to... Which one is telling me the truth?
Yeah.
So that's where I'm like, I love the data and I'm all about, I love to adopt technology early. I've always considered myself an early adopter with technology.
Well, you worked in tech or
yeah.
You're in the tech.
I think it's fascinating. It's not that I'm against it. I consume it, but I also want to make sure it's grounded. I'm grounded and connected to how I feel when I wake up,
yeah.
How I feel throughout the day and what it feels like to go to bed.
Yeah, I 1000% agree with that.
That's all.
Yeah, no, I like that because again, it puts the onus back on you and yeah, it creates exactly. a deeper sense of empowerment. One thing that I want to just bring up, you know, before we wrap this episode is how sleep affects you when you have another body in your bed.
Let's talk about this.
Or a pet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Dr. Matthew Walker, who, you know, has an incredible podcast, great books, expert in his field. He talks about getting a sleep divorce and how sometimes for people, you have to be able to maybe not sleep in the same bed because two people maybe have different chronotypes or
yeah.
They are on different schedules. And I feel like I've forced Tori into my schedule because I don't sleep as comfortably if he's not there. That's not true because I sleep so good when I'm traveling. God, I sleep so good.
But you're removed from your immediate environment.
Yeah, that's true. So, but I feel like if he's not on my same exact schedule, like if we're for some reason just on different schedules, it really agitates me. And if I wake up in the middle of a cycle, it really affects me. And then it just creates anger. And then I'm up and then it just kind of creates a thing. So, and then the dog. So we have three pit bulls. Three. She look at her face. She's like, oh,
a lot of bodies.
This is a lot of bodies. But only one of them sleeps. They all are in the room with us, but only one, the girl, she's entitled and she sleeps with us. And not, I wish you could have seen her this morning. She's the little spoon. She loves to spoon. She's the little spoon. I'm the big spoon. And she just, her head is on my arm. She's on my pillow. She sleeps like a human. Yeah. She thinks she's a person. Yeah. But she snores so loud and sometimes she kicks my boobs. It's like, it is just very disruptive. I would imagine it's akin to having a child sleep in your bed.
Yeah, I believe it.
Is it healthy? I'm still getting crowns, so I'm going to continue to do it as long as I feel like I'm getting good sleep.
I do it. I mean, also, like, I bet if you're cold, if you get into bed under cool sheets and her little body warms you up away.
Look, I love it. So I guess maybe I should have prefaced it with the sleep divorce. I'm not a fan. I think for some people, I've even recommended it for some students that I've worked with to get a sleep divorce. It sounds like, and I have friends that they sleep separate and they love it.
So can we talk about somebody is listening to this and you're like, ooh, I want to have this conversation with my partner, but my partner's going to be pissed or like they'll take it personally. How do we have that conversation with our partner? Because I'm considering, Jorge, don't listen to this.
Oh, no.
No. I mean, so I mentioned we got a Sleep Number bed.
Okay.
And it has a split top. So what that means is like I can control my sleep setting. It's separate from his because Jorge is like a wiggler. He's a little Gusano. He's a little worm.
She said gusano.
He's like little gusanitos when he gets in bed at night.
It's a worm.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's a worm. So, and he also is a bit of a snorer, so I can raise his head and he can stop snoring that way.
Oh, like while he's asleep, you raise his...
Yeah, it has a snore setting. So I feel like this bed kind
Wait,
of...
Wait, and I die. It's just like he's on, you're like, me. Yes,
it's exactly like that. Oh, man, I mentioned like early on with Dr. Vonda Wright's episode, we are the funniest sleepers. Where he has to wear his, I call it his Peruvian hat. It's like this little knitted cap that goes over his ears because his head gets cold. But I'm a hot sleeper when I get hot at night.
Like, get the blankets off.
And his head, he can't have air on his head. Otherwise, he feels like he's getting sick.
Get sick, yeah.
So
it's a Mexican thing.
We managed to... Yeah, the air is dangerous.
Yeah.
We've managed to stay in the same bed, but I feel like we've split the difference between a sleep divorce with this technology, which is why another reason why I'm a big fan of technology, because it feels like we're in two twin beds, and it's a king size, so he's so far away from me, I can't really feel him. But I'm... You know, my parents sleep in completely different rooms, and they've slept in completely different rooms for like 20 years.
Key to a happy marriage, maybe.
And they've been married for, it's going to be 60 years in May. So my dad's a snorer, and he's a, like a kicker. He like kicks.
Oh, it's a kicker. Kicker and a snorer.
He has a CPAP machine.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the
whole thing. Yes.
So... I think there's something to be said for the sleep divorce, but going back to my original question is, if you're in a relationship where it feels like that might be a kind of a contentious conversation, how do you have that conversation with your partner?
This is a really great question because I'm looking at it from the perspective, it's like, oh, how would I tell Tor to go move into the other room? I have told him to leave a couple of times. Because I'm like, just go. I can't. The TV, it's loud. Oh, it's just like, please just leave. Please go. Yeah. But then I miss him because I'm like, oh, I need his foot, you know, because he can't touch me because I'm too hot. He gets, you know, like overheated allegedly. So it's like we touch feet.
Yeah.
I love that. But if it was the other way around and he wanted a sleep divorce from me, first of all, my feelings would be hurt. Let's be honest. Yeah. I'd feel like my feelings were hurt. But I think it just would depend, you know, if I wouldn't want to disrupt my partner's sleep. So when I was in India, you know, I was traveling with Sahara, who's my bestie. And we shared for a couple of weeks. We did have separate rooms like at the beginning and then at towards the end. But in the middle of like our month or our trip, we shared a living space together in one room.
How was that?
And it was great. You know, she's a good little roommate. I have my little things, and she's way more, less rigid than I am. And it was funny because you could see clearly what my side of the room looked like compared to her side of the room. And that was my one rule. I'm like, okay, keep your side however you want, but this side, it's got to be this way. And I'm not being very clear whose is what or whose room looked like what. But, you know, suffice to say that if there was one little bit of her thing, I would be like, move this back to your side. And there was one point, during a couple of the days of the trip, we had to actually share a bed, which was, she's a great sleeper. Good. She's very like, she's a great roommate. I mean, she really is like a great, because she's so chill, you know, so it was really giving. Like Tori's the same. He's super chill. I'm definitely the one that's a little bit more particular, let's say. But there was a couple of the nights where I guess I was snoring and she was like, you were snoring. I was like, whoa, she's really tired. And then, but even that like gave a little bit of that self-conscious.
Oh yeah.
Right. Because even with Tori, like I know that he'll snore sometimes, or I, if I'm really tired, it's the only time I snore, right? But it's always a little bit embarrassing, oh, right? Totally. And so, you know, she said that and I was like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to try and, you know, sleep a different way. But sometimes when I'm, you can't, and I mean, you can't help it. But then it just makes you think, okay, I don't want to interrupt my roommate person that I'm sleeping with next to sleep because that's disruptive. Mm-hmm. And so how do I say it in a loving way, especially if it's a consistent problem? I think you have to just do it compassionately. Mm-hmm. You have to do it mindfully. You have to do it lovingly and you can't shame people. You can't make fun. Don't make fun. Like, no, definitely no. Do not make fun.
Yeah.
I had a student of mine who started dating this guy and this is before she fixed her gut issues. She would toot in the middle of the night. She would have she was a rootin' tootin' cowboy, you know? and so she didn't know for the first couple of sleepovers that she had with this person. Uh-huh. And then, you know, after maybe a couple of times, like he brought it up while they were out at lunch and he said something like, oh, you know, she was eating something and he goes, oh, do you know that that gives you like, it was broccoli or something. It gives you a lot of gas. Yeah. And maybe that's why you're tooting so much at night. And it was like, and I know, and look, they're still together. Okay. So maybe that was the key ingredient to their success. Yeah. But it was in the way that he said it, you know, it was like very investigative. It wasn't accusatory. He was trying to address, he was trying to figure out like what was happening mm-hmm. and wanted to bring it up to her in a way that it wasn't embarrassing. Regardless, obviously she was completely like embarrassed and was mortified at the whole experience, but she thought about it and she was like, look, I'm having gut problems. Like I obviously am having some issues and I need to deal with, but that could have been dealt with differently. You know, like that person in the beginning of a relationship could have just been like, ugh, you know, just
in which case, goodbye.
Yeah, exactly. That person could have been judgmental. They could have been rude. They could have been mean. And so I'm thinking about your question from a perspective of like, how would you want to be told mm-hmm. that you are getting a sleep divorce, more so than how do I tell my partner? It's like, how would you want your partner to tell you?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm also wondering if, like, could it be like an exploratory conversation about, hey, is this something we should try? Instead of it being like an already done decision on one person's part. So,
yeah.
Like, for example, me, if I were to be like, hey, I read this study in Women's Health magazine about this growing trend of this thing called a sleep divorce. You know, kind of like how my parents sleep in different rooms. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that we'd have to take it that far. Could we, like, or even my grandparents had two twin beds. They were like completely separate twin beds.
This is very I Love Lucy.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And it was in the same room. Like they shared the master bedroom or the, I don't think you can say that word anymore.
No, you can't
say it.
You fucking say however you want.
They shared the main room. I don't know what it's called.
They shared their bedroom.
They shared their bedroom. And they had two twin beds. And it was just like, that's what they did. It was totally normal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this isn't a new thing, but it seems like it's kind of coming back around as this option for people who are suffering from sleep issues.
You know what's interesting is just to be completely honest with you right now, like I'm feeling anxious for Jorge. Aww. Because I'm, as you're saying this, I can tell how badly you want to experience the sleep divorce. And I'm just like, no, like don't leave. Aww. Like I wouldn't even want to experiment. I remember when I told Tori about the sleep divorce in my research and after reading Why We Sleep. And the first thing I said to him, I won't forget because I'm having this memory come back. The first thing I said, we're not doing this, but people actually do get slave divorces. So I didn't even give him the option. But look, I mean, I am such a codependent person. You're a little codependent too.
Yeah, I am. But, I mean, I don't honestly think that this is something I would ever really do.
But you want to try it. What if you actually like it? I think you should experiment. I think you should try it and just see how it goes. You know, maybe you don't like it. Yeah. You might. But one thing that I will say is the only time I ever considered getting a sleep divorce was when I was going through perimenopause.
Yeah.
Because because I wasn't treating the hot flashes yet because I wasn't on HRT. Mm-hmm. And they would wake me up in the middle of the night and I was just drenched. I mean, when I'm saying I was drenched in sweat, I mean, it was embarrassing. Like I'd have to change the sheets and it was embarrassing. And so if anything, I just didn't want to expose him to the experience that I was having.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I get that. Like, you know, because I've been coughing for so long.
You have a whooping cough.
Yeah. I have this children's disease. Well, it's not a disease. It's like a virus. But, I mean, for like 3 months, I've been keeping Jorge up, poor thing, just coughing in the middle of the night. I get you. I feel bad about that.
Here's the final note, I think, the takeaway from this conversation is to, as always, do your research, consider wearables if it's something that you think will help in your journey, your health journey. Practice self-compassion, practice having compassion towards others, consider what your nighttime routines are and if they are effective for you. And if you do have a partner, consider how their routines affect you or how you can create routines together to create better sleep.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else?
The one other thing I would add is if you're not on HRT and you're experiencing disruptive sleep, and it doesn't have to be like a hot flash at night, and you want to have that conversation with your doctor, definitely do. If your doctor is dismissive of that, do the research.
Yes.
Menopause.org. We'll put some resources in the show notes. But I wouldn't let your doctor – I would just – please don't let your doctor dismiss your sleep because sleep is – it is important.
Oh, yes, 100%.
As something that like, oh, you're just stressed out. Oh, you're just going through, especially if you're consistently not sleeping well.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to address it.
Yeah, 100%. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Great. Thank you. Thank you all so much for being here and for watching the show today. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts and send us your questions to info@radicallyloved.com. You can also get that in the show notes wherever you're listening or if you're watching this on YouTube. And if you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe to our channel. That helps. It helps us so much so we can continue to bring this information and conversation to you. Thanks so much for being here. Bye. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to the Radically Well podcast. This podcast is produced by Rosie Acosta and Tessa Tovar. Production by Sapphiris Media. Music by Monogram Sound. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here, and you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.